Right, thank you, Marion. Am I on, Steve? Yeah, good. I'll warn you, Peter, I'll let you know when to move the slides, but you'll have to jump around a bit. I always find it interesting hearing Marion talk about the word and things, and I listened to Rosie and Carol last week, and hearing other people's take and their spiritual pathways and what's important to them, I just find fascinating, and it's really helpful. So as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, when Marion, Rosie and I introduced the idea of spiritual pathways, serving is one of my spiritual pathways. Carol last week said without serving as a spiritual pathway, she would not have been standing speaking in front of you and leading Dayspring. And while I can, and indeed 2 weeks ago did, give examples of when serving has brought me closer to God, given me an emotional response and leading me to praise Him, serving is the way I look to live my faith. Whether it's choosing as a teenager to remain in the UK rather than becoming a missionary and returning to Brazil, looking when I was in secular work to serve not just my bosses but those I work with and those who worked for me, and being an active person in the church that I was attending at the time. It's part of me living my faith and showing the love of Jesus. And Jesus is my example. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King. I'm sure we have all sung that song, but have we thought about the words? Is it more than a nice song that we enjoy? Next slide, Peter. So in Philippians 2, Paul writes about Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, taking the very nature of a servant, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus' life on the earth was one of service. One example is when he washed the disciples' feet, as described in John 13. Next slide. Oh, you there? Yeah. And this is a time, it was the last meal with his disciples. Later that evening, he knows he's going to be betrayed. The next day, he will be crucified. And yet, with all that going on, he takes off his robe and he starts to wash the disciples' feet. I'm sure if I offered now to wash all of your feet, some of you would be embarrassed, worried that they might smell or what they looked like. But in those days, as I'm sure you're all aware, it was about washing off the muck and the dirt that had collected on the feet as you were just getting around. And even among the servants, it was regarded as the lowest of the low. And yet Jesus did it willingly and finished in verse 14, Peter, so the next slide, by saying, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So Jesus is the servant King. How did he serve? I think the better question is, who did he serve? In John 5, next slide please, Peter, he heals someone on the Sabbath, and the teachers of the law and the Pharisees are up in arms asking, who did this? You can't work on the Sabbath. Who gives you the right? And Jesus answers, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So in the story of feeding of the 5,000, Jesus and the disciples have been busy, and Jesus suggests that they withdraw from the crowd and have some downtime. So they get into the boat, they go across to the other side of the lake, but the crowd follows them, and when they arrive, the crowd are there, and Jesus sees them and he looks at them with compassion, because he sees them as sheep without a shepherd. And at that point, despite what seemed good to him, he sees the Father at work and chooses to join in by teaching the crowd for the day. And after feeding them spiritually, he feeds them physically before sending them off. Another example is the Phoenician woman who asked Jesus to heal her daughter. Jesus says, "Let the children eat their fill first," meaning he came only for the Jews. She, though, replies, even though the dogs get to eat the crumbs the children drop. And Jesus replies, "For such a reply, your daughter is healed." Jesus had come for the Jews, which was why he initially responded the way he did. But because of the reply from the mother in her desperation, he sees that the Father is at work and he joins in. Move slightly. Even at the wedding of Cana, initially he tells his mother when she informs him that they've run out of wine. He says to his mother, "Why are you telling me this? It's not my time." And yet Mary still goes and speaks to the servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you." And Jesus responds by asking them to fill the water jars. And the rest is history. Water is turned into wine. Not any old wine, but the best wine. What changed Jesus' mind? Was it the compassion? Was it the nagging of his mother? Or was it because he saw the Father at work and he decided to join in? So Jesus served his Father by joining in with what he saw the Father doing. And for our lives to be that daily offering of worship, we need to be serving our Father God. Whether serving is our spiritual pathway or not, if we do not have the right focus for our serving, we're going to be serving someone or something else. Whether it's ambition to succeed, and so we serve our job, or wanting things to give us our worth, meaning that we serve money and wealth, or serving the idol of self, meaning that we look to a life of pleasure and ease. Even things that start off well-intentioned can lead us to the wrong focus for our serving. Wanting the best for our children can mean that they become the complete focus to the exclusion of all else. And so we end up serving them. If you want to go back a couple of slides, Peter. Notice when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, he was no doormat. He was still clear who he was serving. Peter initially refused to have his feet washed by Jesus. But Jesus told him, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And then Peter, of course, went to the other extreme and he wanted to have his head and his hands washed. And Jesus pointed out that those who have had a bath only need their feet washed. As a family, we have been to New Wine every year, except one that it's been on since Sophie was 18 months old. And she's proudly likes to say she's now 17 and able to drive. It's been really good for our family. The kids have enjoyed the children's and teens' work. It's a real joy now that when we go, Isabella's joining us in the adult celebration. And Sophie last year loved being part of the children's work team. Sometimes, as we've been there, I've thought about serving as a village host or on one of the many other teams. And I know Dawn, for a number of years, served on the site control team and really enjoyed doing so. Last year, our village hosts were actually fantastic. When we arrived, they'd have worked out where everyone needed to pitch their tents and marked it all out. They popped by every day to see that we were doing okay. And they organised a barbecue for the whole of the village, to which I think almost everyone came. And more recently, when we've gone to New Wine, as we've arrived, they've put out a call for people to serve, because they're short of volunteers. But over the years, with Sue's help, I've come to see New Wine as a time of rest, refreshment, and a chance to worship and praise Father God with my family, and I've not felt that I should serve in that way. Last year, we had to arrive a day early because Sophie was on team, and so we were there earlier than most people. So as other people were arriving, we didn't have much to do. Maybe adjust a guy rope here and knocking a tent peg there. And so I spent the afternoon helping people pitch their tents, which I really enjoyed. And one year, the person who organised the whole of New Wine, they actually got him up on the main stage and thanked him for his 10, 20 years of service as he was stepping down. And I have to say, I thought, oh, that would be a fun job. I wonder if I'd be any good at that. And the idol of ambition reared its head. And then I remembered my call to Wiltshire and what I was doing here. And I got my focus right to serve Father God and join him with what I found him doing. So when we serve, our focus should be the same as Jesus's, serving Father God, joining him with what we find him doing. We do need to guard against that focus slipping and what started out as serving Father God, joining in what he's doing, becoming something else. Another danger is serving in our own strength. Have you noticed as you read the Gospels how often Jesus takes himself off to spend time with his Father? Often it's after something amazing has happened. So with the feeding of the 5,000, he sends the disciples back across the lake in the boat. He dismisses the crowd and then he goes up into the hills to pray and spend time with his Father. The energy, the fuel for all that he did came from that relationship with his Father. And while we are serving, we need to be doing it in his strength and not our own. When we do it in our own strength, we end up tired and cynical. And I find I react like Martha did when she complained about Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. When serving in his power, I find it amazing the energy that it gives. So the Tuesday or Wednesday before one cabaret, when I was knee-deep in all the preparations, my brother phoned me to inform me that my father had suffered a heart attack. Fortunately, my father was in the doctor's surgery when it happened, and so he was treated brilliantly and has recovered well. But as you can imagine, it was an interesting week, juggling cabaret, visiting my father in hospital, supporting my mother. The Sunday before, we'd been praying for cabaret, and unusually for me, I'd got a picture of angels surrounding the Lansdowne Hall as cabaret was going on, and the Holy Spirit being on each table. And so despite all the chaos, I was confident that God was in it with me. And cabaret went well. I don't remember exactly how I felt at the end of it, but I know God's grace was sufficient for all I needed to do at that time. And I praise him for it. So when serving, we need to be serving Father God, joining him with what he's doing. We need to ensure we serve in his grace and not our own strength. Another danger for those of us who have serving as a spiritual pathway is that when not serving, God can seem distant, resulting in us getting caught up in serving and forgetting first and foremost that we are his child. He loves us, and we know we need to learn to receive love as well as to offer it. So at New Wine, by feeling that I'm not there to serve, I engage in other spiritual pathways like celebration. And a couple of weeks ago, I told you how well I get on with that. And the word and contemplation, ones which I do not find natural, but it's good for me as God nurtures me through it and I become a more rounded Christian. Jesus, the servant king, is our example. Even if serving is not your spiritual pathway, you need to learn to serve your Father God and join him with what he's doing. It'll be more of a discipline to you than a pathway. But engaging with it will deepen your relationship with Jesus. Serving on a Sunday morning by putting out the chairs, serving the coffee, helping with the kids and teens, PA and visuals is just the start. As we are faithful in the small things, build the spiritual muscle, so we'll be entrusted with bigger things. Let us just pray. Lord, I thank you for how you've created us. All unique and different, each in your image, reflecting some of you. And through that, giving us a glimpse of how amazing and awesome you are. I thank you for the different spiritual pathways in which we can see you, connect with you, feel close to you, become aware that you are present with us, and find ourselves worshipping and praising you. During this series, I pray that you'll help us to identify those pathways. that work for us, and use them to deepen our relationship with you and draw closer to you. Let us celebrate your diversity by also engaging with the other pathways, even though they may feel like a discipline and we have to work at them. I pray maybe that you will identify a couple of pathways that might not be natural for us, but if we were to come to them with an expectant heart, you will use to nurture us, rounding us out as a disciple, and we will find joy in experiencing your loving presence in a new and different way to what we may have previously, seeing a new aspect of you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, I think that's all we have, unless you want to add anything, Dave?
I do actually just want to tell you a quick story.